Well, get your Bibles out. I want to share a word with you. And go to the book of Colossians chapter 1. Or did I say that? Book of Colossians chapter 1. You know, I know that God has better things for us than we're believing for ourselves. He always has better things because Ephesians 3:20 says that God does wants to do exceedingly abundant beyond you could even think or ask. So, no matter how much you pray for, no matter how much you're praying and believing for, no matter what you think that you're out there, I just want you to know God wants to do something bigger. He wants to do something greater than what you're believing for. You know, like if you're high jumping, 6 foot, He wants you. You know, He wants more, not wants more. He just believes more. He knows you can do more. God sees greater potential in us than we see in ourselves. And the reason why is because He sees us as His sons. We've been talking about this. He sees us as His sons, and God's sons don't fail. God's sons succeed. They're highly favored, highly blessed. Everything that is in heaven, according to Ephesians 1:3, everything that's ever been in heaven is all at your disposal. But we just don't use it. And the reason why we don't walk in it, because we don't know who we are. Hello? Like the story of the prodigal son we talked about on Sunday a little bit there, you know? I mean, the kid didn't know who he was. So he went off, thought it was going to be better over there, and he ends up wanting to eat pig food. And then finally it says he came to himself. We all got to have to come to ourselves and realize that when we walked into what we call salvation, when we had that moment and we asked Jesus to come into our life, that, man, more happened than what you think happened. More took place. I mean, just imagine, if you don't think anybody's ever cheered for you in life, the moment you got saved, the Bible says that everything in heaven rejoiced. And there's an innumerable multitude of angels. You can't even number them. There's so many of them. So you got one big cheer. Right? You rocked all of heaven. But I just think we can rock heaven every day. But the problem is we have got to overcome the image that we have of ourselves as we are in our flesh and the mistakes that we make and the shortcomings we have and the wrong thoughts that we have. And we have to overcome that to begin to see ourselves as sons of God. Now, that doesn't give you any place to be arrogant, because you wouldn't be a son of God if it wasn't for the grace of God. You wouldn't have anything if it wasn't for the blood of Jesus. So there's no place you can get haughty, no place you can get to thinking you're better than anybody else or anything else or, you know, whatever, because there's no place for I in your life, because if it wasn't for Jesus, you know, man, we'd be toast. They'd be sweeping us up in a dustpan. Hello? Because none of us are going to keep the law. In no way. You know, the thing that's funny about the law never was given so that man could keep it. The law was given so that there was no way you could keep it. Yet man was arrogant enough to say, I think we can do it. Let's go for it. We can do it. We can make our own righteousness. We can do this. And the more, actually, if you go look through the New Testament, the only people Jesus ever really got angry with were the Pharisees. And he always referred to them as devils. So in other words, the more they worked at their own righteousness, the more they were striving to make their own perfection by keeping the law or writing sub-laws to skirt around the law. He said, man, you just became more demonic rather than more godly. And I would just rather be the other way. I would just rather be totally and completely dependent upon Him, right? But one of the things about being dependent upon Him is you got to know who you are. You got to know what did He do for you? What is your position? And so here in Colossians chapter 1, verse 12, reading it out of a New King James, it says, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. In King James, it says, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. And if you go look up what the word means, the true Greek meaning of the word qualified there, or has made, this is what the definition is. To make sufficient. Okay, just right there, just, you know, not even going into the rest of this, but to make sufficient. In other words, there was a lack and God made it sufficient. Right? You got ready to pay and you were short and he stepped up and paid the rest. Right? He made it sufficient. It was enough. All right? The word qualify there, to make sufficient, render fit, to equip one with adequate power to perform their duties. To equip one with adequate power to perform the duties. Okay, so giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers in the inheritance of the saints in the light. Verse 13, he's delivered us from darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. In other words, when you made Jesus the Lord of your life, when you entered into what we would say salvation, you called upon him and he came into your life, you were made adequate, sufficient, with all power necessary to accomplish whatever you needed to accomplish. You say, well, I don't feel that way. Well, you may not feel that way because your flesh doesn't want to cooperate or your mind hadn't been renewed to the Word of God. But that doesn't mean that the sufficiency is not in you if you can just get it out of you. Think about that. Go look over at 1 John chapter 4. First John 4:4. For you of God, little children, have overcome them because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. King James says, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. So there's greatness in you. Everybody say there's greatness in me. Come on, say it like you mean it. There's greatness in me. But the greatness is not in your ability, your talent, your great knowledge, your whatever. There's no, you're just the earth suit that's housing. 1 Corinthians 3:16 says you're the temple of the living God and the Spirit of God lives and dwells on the inside of you. You got to get hold of this. When you wake up in the morning and you can feel like you were the most unspiritual person in the world, but that doesn't make any difference because the greater one is in you. But it is amazing what man's free will can do to squash the Spirit of God. Man's thoughts, his insecurities, his own view of the world and the things of the world. How either big we can make the problem and how small the answer, all by our mind and what we can conjure up and how we can see how it's going to go. When the greatest thing, I mean, come on, folks, listen. Because I'm preaching good truth here. I'm just telling you what the Word of God says. And it's hard to believe. It's hard to fathom sometimes. But your Father, the one that you were created after, I'm talking about on the inside, not the outside, the inside. He created everything that you see, all the stars, all the galaxies, things that man cannot even see to the end of. And then sat down after just 6 days. Created all the trees, all the animals. I mean, come on, made animals. Made trees. Got it all created. All its complexities. All the complexities of our bodies. Got it all made, put down, and sat down in just 6 days. And that's your daddy. Galatians says that our spirit wants to cry out, Abba, Father, Daddy, Daddy. Right? Daddy, Daddy. How then are we allowing the enemy to defeat us? How then are we not walking in victory? If the great one is in us. The story I've been preaching about Gideon on Sunday mornings. Just think about that. When the angel looked at him and said, Hail, mighty man of valor. All he was doing was looking at what was in them. Today, just think about it. When God would, the angel of the Lord, whatever, would could look at you and say, Hail, mighty woman of God. He's not looking at what you've accomplished on the outside. He's looking at who you are on the inside. We've got to get more. People say, well, they're introverted. Well, listen, we got to get more introverted in the sense of looking on the inside of who we are. You follow what I'm saying? There's great power on the inside of you to create worlds. All because one day, faith stirred in your heart and you believe the gospel message was true. And you asked Jesus to come into your life. And he did. So how great is he that when he stepped into your life, you just became great? And I want to go over here and I want to take a little different twist on a real familiar passage of scripture, but go over here to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, verse 1. It says, Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they be saved. For I bear them witness that they have zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. So they were wanting God, they want God in their life, but they did it wrong. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness have not submitted to the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. Now, I want to put this in a certain light here. Okay. So Colossians 1:13, it says, you've been translated from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of his dear son. So when did the kingdom of darkness start? Now, I don't want to get real technical here, okay? So don't anybody say, well, I don't know. This is not a deep theological message, but I'm just going to say, when did the kingdom of darkness start? Think about this. I'm going to say in the garden. All right. So prior to that, let's just say there was no kingdom of darkness. Kingdom of darkness started when man sinned. Right? Okay. So the kingdom of darkness started then. And then God, in the time of Moses, set forth a law to try to show man how holy God is. And that you can't be in your own works and own abilities, be ever as holy as God. And I want to show you why, because you would have to keep all of this to be holy. And bottom line is, you can't do it. So you need help, is what he was trying to show everybody, right? So then at that moment, the law started operating, but the law had a two-edged sword to it. The law said, man, you are blessed if you keep it. You're blessed if you do everything it says. You're going to walk in the blessing. You're going to be blessed in the city and blessed in the field. And blessed. You're going to be blessed, blessed, blessed. But if you don't, if you miss one commandment, then the law of sin is going to start to take effect into your life, and it's going to bring about the curse. Have y'all ever just read Deuteronomy 28 and just read what the curse says, what the curse of the law was? I mean, it ain't good. But it's what's happening to most people in the world. Okay, now I just want to put this, just give me a little bit. I'm painting with a big brush here. So God said, okay, now this is the law. And out of, let's just say, out of his mouth went the law. And it started an operation. It started a perpetual motion kind of machine working the law. And every time you fell into sin, the curse of the law came upon you. It just happened because just like God didn't have to get up in the morning and arrange the stars and put them in the sky. They're just there. Right? He didn't have to get up in the morning and say, oh, wait a minute, they got out of position last night. No, they're just there. He doesn't have to make the sun rise and the sun go down. Doesn't have to make the moon come up. He just set it into motion when in the beginning of creation, he spoke it all into existence. He spoke it into existence. It just started to work. And it just works, and he doesn't, I don't, God doesn't have to sit at the throne in the morning saying, did somebody push the switch? The sun's not coming up this morning. What happened? Who fell asleep? It just happens because he put it into motion by what he said. So he put it into motion and said, you are blessed if you do this. And then he stepped over here and says, you are cursed if you do this. And a motion started. Just keep that in mind. It actually really started all in the garden, but just for argument's sake, I want to say it started when he enacted it with Moses, okay? For Christ is the end. Christ is the end. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. So then the moment you entered into faith and believing in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the moment you entered into faith, the action and the motion of the law bringing the curse upon your life, it ceased to exist. It stopped. That's how he translated you from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear Son. Because all of a sudden, the curse doesn't have any effect upon you. Right? What's the proverb says, curse without a cause, can't light? Okay, well, the moment that you fulfilled verse 4, Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. Man, you believed, you entered into faith, you asked upon Jesus. You're not under that curse anymore. You're taken out. You're over here. You got translated out. It doesn't have effect upon you. Now, we live in a fallen world. Jesus said you're going to have trouble. Jesus said there's going to be tribulations. You live in a faulty earth suit. There can go problems with it. There can be issues with it like there. But the curse of God's word coming and taking effect upon you. I mean, just tonight, go read Deuteronomy 20. I don't want to for the time's sake here tonight. You can go read it, man. I mean, it ain't good. I mean, basically, cursed means cursed. I mean, there ain't nothing good happening, man. There's plagues and blights and boils and, you know, everybody's got your donkey. Everybody's got this. Everybody's plundering you. You're going against the enemy and you're fleeing seven ways. But just think about that. God never intended for his sons to flee in the face of adversity. Yeah, he called for his sons to stand in the face of adversity and have victory. Why? Because he's in us. And greater is he that's in us than he is in this world. Why do you need a great one to overcome something if it's not overcome? Well, the Bible says, man, the enemy is not going to be put down to the end. But right now, he says, man, you're going to overcome. Then how are we going to overcome him? Yeah, Revelation 12 says, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. What do you mean the blood of the Lamb? This blood that translated us from darkness out of his kingdom into light. That qualified us, gave us the power and the ability to perform whatever we got to perform. That put an end to the law. So he goes on here. For Moses writes about the righteousness which is of the law. The man who does those things shall live by them. But the righteousness of faith speaks this way. Do not say in your heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the abyss, that is to bring Christ up from the dead. What does it say? The word is near you. It's in your mouth. It's in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Now, you got to understand something. When Paul was writing to the Roman church in chapter 10, they weren't looking in their Bibles. Paul didn't start out and say, get your Bibles out. And everybody said, woohoo! I ain't got no Bible. It was being written then. So what he's saying is the faith that I'm telling you, what I'm preaching to you, this is Paul speaking. He says, what I'm preaching to you, what I'm saying to you, man, that's the word that we're preaching. That's what you took faith in, and boom, that's what brought it all about. But you, great scholars, have Bibles. And you can go read all that was put together and all that was said. Do you know, I believe I'm right. I'd have to go back because I didn't write it down. I think there were 7 different chapters, 7 different books that Paul quoted out of just to write in chapter 10. May have been chapters, 7 different chapters that he quoted from. Why? Because see, he's reading the Bible, his Bible on that day, the Torah, what manuscripts he had. So when he quotes down here, he says, what does it say? The word is near, it's in your mouth. Okay? That comes out of Deuteronomy 30:14. He had read it over there. He said, what is it? The word's near, it's in your mouth. That's what the word says. And I'm standing here saying what the word says from what his word said. Right? So Paul's a word quoter. He's doing just what we've all done. The word of God says. He just didn't know that it was going to be his word like that, being inspired by the Holy Ghost, because he was just looking at Deuteronomy 30. That's all he had. Y'all with me? He says, what does it say? The word is near, it's in your mouth, it's in your heart. That is the word of faith that we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God had raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Saved from what? What's he talking about? The law, right? The curse. So what you're saved, what he's talking about to the Roman church there, he said what you're saved from is you're saved from that curse coming upon you because you can't be righteous by what you're doing by works. You're saved from that darkness coming upon you. You're saved from the wrath of God coming upon the darkness. You know, years ago, I've told this story before, but years ago I was in the jail preaching, and I remember quoting that scripture, and you shall be saved. And this guy just blurted out right out of the group, says, saved from what? And I had never heard anybody say that. It is never, no one had ever said that to me. And I was young. I was just starting out preaching, and most of the time I just told my testimony, and you know, I just got into a religious cliche term from church, get saved, you got to get saved, you got to get saved. And he said, saved from what? And he was serious. He wasn't mocking me. He was serious. And it set me back on my heels, and I was like, huh. I mean, it took me a second to get an answer. Finally, the Holy Ghost just on the inside of me said, saved from the wrath of God. And I said, saved from the wrath of God, you know? I mean, God's coming back, and you're saved from the wrath. You're going to get saved, and you're going to go to heaven. He says, well, nobody told me about no wrath. I was like, well, there's one coming. Well, I don't want to be in it. I mean, that guy got saved, you know? I mean, he was ready to do whatever because he didn't know. Nobody told him about anything happening. But you see what I'm saying? We get so caught up in religious terminology sometimes that we forget what Paul's really talking about. And he's talking about getting saved from the law, getting saved from the darkness, getting saved from, you know, from all the evil, and getting over here into the kingdom of God. Okay? That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jews or Greeks. The same Lord is over all, is rich to all who call upon him. For whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. you realize that in verse 13 there, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He took that from the book of Joel. This is what he was quoting from. He was saying, this is what it says right here in the Old Testament, the book of Joel, chapter 2. It says, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. His name is Jesus. That was his preach. Now, what I want you to do is, I want you to understand what I'm trying to get across tonight. Not all the technical things. What I'm trying to get across to you tonight is, listen to me. Anything that's of darkness, anything that's of a curse, it has no place in your life. If you go read Deuteronomy 28, you read through what the curse says. It doesn't have a part of your life. It's not a part of you. You've been translated out of that. But you're going to walk out that salvation with what comes out of your mouth. You're going to walk out that salvation, the Bible says, with fear and trembling, by realizing that the greater one's on the inside of you. And when you don't do that, why just sit in the king? Why sit with the lights turned off? Why sit in the dark when there's a switch? You know what I'm saying? Why sit in your house burning a candle when you could just flip the switch and the lights would come on? Doesn't make any sense. And there's all kinds of ways to go with what, you know, this message tonight, because all of us, you know, in our raising and whatever, maybe you were taught to conserve energy. So sit in the dark with a candle. But I'm just telling you, there, God is greater than you can imagine. God is bigger than we can imagine. And if he's living in us, then let's walk in it. Let's walk as sons of God. Let's stand forth boldly and say, Lord, this is what you want for my life. This is what you call me to do. Now, order my steps and prepare my way. Make all the good things happen. Bring about whatever needs to be. Lord, I understand I'm in a trauma right now. I understand I got some issues right now. But Lord, I just thank you. You're going to lead me through this. You've got a good word. You have an answer. Listen to me. Every time a situation arises in your life and you don't know what to do, God has an answer. Proverbs 1 says, wisdom's calling aloud. It's always shouting out in the street. But are we going to hear his voice? It's always shouting out in the streets, but are we going to hear his voice? You know, it's interesting to me because I always pray in the mornings, you know, for God just to order my steps and prepare my way that day, and wherever I need to be, just get me there, Lord. And then I just go about my day, and, you know, I have impressions or thoughts about this or that or the other. And I had to go to San Antonio today, and I was at visiting somebody at the hospital, and I drove up, and I was hungry. It was time to eat. So, you know, the God of my belly was telling me it's time to eat. And so I drove up, and you know, if you're around the medical center, man, you make one boo-boo, and you end up places that you don't want to go. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I don't know how you can get into the medical center, and I guess it's the way all the roads kind of curve around. I mean, I literally had to look at the compass to figure out which way is north, south, east, and west, because you can get going down a road and just think you're going, you're just headed right to 10, and you're not going to 10 at all, man. You're headed up north or something, you know. And so I pulled up, and I looked down the road, and there was a hamburger place down there. I thought, well, I'd just go down there, but So I was trying to figure out how to go, and it was just kind of like traffic pushed me onto the road, and I was going down this road, and I thought, I don't even know where I'm going. And I said, all right, well, just drive down this road, I guess. But let's see where we're going. And so then it got to be the sign says, you know, right lane closed. And I'm always, you know, I'm really, you know, highly intelligent in these areas. I'm like, right lane, let's see, right lane, right lane. Yeah, okay, that's this side. Okay, oh, that's me. And then I'm like, you know, me get over there and say, oh, okay. So then I get going. I said, I think I'm going right. I don't even know where I'm at. You know, and I'm looking around the buildings trying to figure out where I'm going. And then there's a detour. Then I got detoured. And then in a minute, man, I popped out over here. And, man, I'm right over there by Mama Cita's. I said, man, I think I go eat me some enchiladas, you know. And so it's very unusual that I do something like that because I was by myself. And, you know, I don't like to go eat at a restaurant by myself. But I go in there and I eat and I'm reading the Bible and have my phone with me. I'm just reading my Bible on my phone and eating and just enjoying myself. And I thought, I need to get going, you know. And so, but I had this real sense of no urgency. And then I thought, oh, I need to go up here. Oh, wait, that's right up here. And I went up there and I had to do something else and I had to stop somewhere else to pick something else up. And so I'm going down the road and I was just telling the guys a while ago that I get to Castroville and I'm going and I think about that I need to go to Tractor Supply. And I don't ever go to Tractor Supply in Castroville. For some reason, it just seems like it's on the wrong side of the road or something. It just is an odd place. It just seems odd to me. I don't know. I don't even understand why. But I drive in there. I walk in the doors and checking out's a person I know from Utopia. Hey, Robert, how you doing? I'm like, really? I wouldn't think I'd know anybody in here. I rounded the corner. There was two more people I knew. So I sat there and visited for 30 minutes, you know. Point is, I don't know if God set all of that up. I don't know if I was just eating and taking a relaxed lunch, and I didn't know if I got lost or whatever, but I felt like I ended up where I needed to be at the right time. Never heard God say, okay, go here, now turn left, now go right. No, no. It just happens. When those kind of things happen, I feel blessed because it's like, God, you are so much greater than I can imagine, because how could I have plotted this out? Because first of all, I wouldn't have known the people were going to be there. Those are great days. You know what I'm saying? Because it makes me feel like, wow, thank you, Lord. The prayer I prayed this morning, it really worked. You see what I'm saying? Because other days I can go along and nothing in the world happens. But at least, come on, at least, right? You get those days, then you say, wait a minute, it always is working. See, God's doing things for us all the time. We don't even realize it. When we're praying and we're praying and going through, but we got to get that revelation. Man, the greater one's on the inside of us. And just let him be God. Let him bring it about. Lay more to your steps. Prepare your ways and make all those crooked paths straight. Amen? Amen. Well, look at that person and say, boy, I like that. Well, praise God. Well, let's take up our offering tonight. Anything I need to announce about Sunday? Anything going on? Second Sunday, kids play? Oh, really? Did y'all know that? Daylight savings? Ick. I just wish I'd leave it alone. I guess we could. We just know that we don't change our clock. Work for a little while. Put your hand on your offering. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you, Lord, that because the greater one's on the inside of us, you said everything that we put our hand to is going to prosper. You said that everything in life, Lord God, is going to be working on to bring about. You said when we're given, it's good measures, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. It's going to return back to us. And so, Lord, tonight I just thank you that as we give, that, Lord, your hand has blessed it, and it brings blessings back to us in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.